Testing 1, 2, here we go. Saved by the Bell. Embedded in the phrase, one of those days, the term those always seems to refer to the collection of days where we feel like the punching bag in a boxing gym. For some people, the container they use to house that collection of days is very large. But I believe the size of that container is more a function of where we put our attention than the actual circumstances of life. Of course, it's easier to say that when you're making reference to someone else's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. It's a different story when the drama is your own. Yesterday, within a 24-hour period, the following circumstances occurred in my life. The washing machine broke and flooded the laundry room. I could hardly walk when I got out of bed because my back had seized up the day before. The auto mechanic called to let us know that our 2003 minivan, which we dropped off in the morning, needed several thousand dollars of repair work. On the way back from the repair shop, our second car broke down, and we were barely able to get back to the house. A software update to our blog left it dysfunctional, and I spent several hours trying to resolve the problem. When I tried to repair the washer after dinner, it flooded the laundry room a second time, and then I discovered that the water from both floods had leaked into the basement storage area, damaging cases of new books and journals that are stored there by the Toto Institute. I'll just stop there. None of these events is really catastrophic. However, each one presents a set of circumstances that falls outside the boundaries of my expectations and desires. That's how disappointment is born. But I didn't write this essay to complain. I wrote it to share the most profound moment of my day. In the midst of my disappointment, frustration, and a frozen back, I found myself walking through the living room just as a particular piece of music was playing. It was something I never heard before, so I paused because the melody sounded familiar. It turned out to be the song Eleanor Rigby, originally written by the Beatles, but this performance was by Joshua Bell. Do you remember Joshua Bell? He was the violinist who played in the New York City subway as an experiment to see how many people would stop and listen. If you remember this story, you may remember that the vast majority of people simply walked right by him, even though he's one of the greatest violinists of the world today. I didn't realize it at the time, but the experiment was being repeated in my own living room, and I stopped and sat down and listened intently. The piece of music surprised me, even though I knew the song. I had never heard this kind of arrangement, and as far as I know, I had never heard Joshua Bell. There was a point about two-thirds of the way through the music where he reached a high note on his violin that was so sweet and pure and heavenly that I felt tears welling up in my eyes. When it was over, I just sat there, breathless. I couldn't move. Sound is actually waves, and they vibrate against your entire body, even though we think of our ears as the soul portal. But this piece of music had entered me through the pores of my skin. When I came to my senses, actually, when I left my senses, I wanted to listen to it again, but the source of the music was some playlist from the internet, and there was no way to get it back. It was like falling in love with someone just as she gets on the subway train, and then you watch the train disappear into a dark, endless tunnel. In just a few minutes, I had found the piece of music on Joshua Bell's website, and I downloaded it for 99 cents. What a bargain. I quickly grabbed my wife, Linda, from the office and rushed over to the living room sofa with her. "You have to hear this," I said with uncontained excitement. The music played again. This time I was prepared, but it didn't make a difference. I was absorbed into the sound of the violin, and just as before, the territory around my eyes reddened and tears began to form. Linda was also moved by the music. We looked at each other, smiled. What was there to say? I went back to my list of tasks. More difficulties followed. Did my moment of bliss somehow create a bubble around me to protect me from feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, disappointed, and sorry for myself? No, it didn't. But it did become part of my experience that day. Twice. In fact, later that afternoon, I walked up the hill to the tea house, which overlooks this marvelous Vermont valley. I brought my MP3 player and headphones. I listened to Joshua Bell again, on the deck of the tea house, as the cherry tree a few feet away began revealing its tender white blossoms. It was really too much. The view and the music together overwhelmed my senses. The view and the music together overwhelmed my senses, wrestling my attention back and forth, leaving me confused as to which of these blessings to fall in love with. Later that evening, while using stacks of rags to soak up water from the second flood, I lost my temper with my daughters. Joshua Bell has his own way of finishing a performance. Mine was not quite as graceful. I went to bed. I fell asleep. I got lucky. I woke up the next morning and had another chance. Never finish your performance by yelling at your audience. I learned something about coping with those days. It really is about attention. Even when you're struggling and suffering, there's the possibility of finding joy in moments. Much of my anguish yesterday wasn't happening during the problem, it was happening in between. Worries like, how will we live without a working car? Or, how am I going to function on my trip to Boston next week when I can hardly walk? I was frustrated by something that had already happened, the past. I worried about things that may never occur, the future. If we can develop the capacity to catch ourselves when our attention turns inward, we have the opportunity to notice what's happening around us. That may be a piece of music, or a sunset, or the smile on our daughter's face, or a butterfly hopping from tulip to tulip. I had other wonderful moments besides Joshua Bell. I've been training and working with my attention for more than 20 years. Sometimes it just happens naturally, which is delightful. It doesn't mean I don't get caught up in self-pity or that I don't find life frustrating from time to time. It simply means that my collection of those days is relatively small. And the ones I've collected are a mix of inconveniences and blessings, anguish and joy. As long as I remember to look for and savor those moments of joy, no day is worth discarding. Stumbling on Joshua Bell's song as I rushed through the living room was nothing less than grace. Taking the time to listen to it, really listen, is what comes from practice. Then again, practice is also grace. The world is a miraculous place. On those days, we don't always notice. We may shut our eyes, but the landscape doesn't really change.